Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to issue 50 of Heroes Asylum. Ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, lock up your children. Kane has returned. Welcome, everybody. Heroes Asylum, issue 50. And like I said, folks, Kane has come back to us. How you doing, man? Did you make it through
it? Hey! Hi! Hi, everybody. Welcome. Merry Christmas to you. Merry delayed Christmas to everybody. And wishing everybody a Happy New Year, which is coming out upon us very quickly.
Yes.
And issue 50. We made it. 50! Halfway there to 100. Almost there. If everything goes well, we should have episode 100 by October. That's what I'm guessing.
Yes, yes. Hopefully, it'll be our, since this is our end of the year one, hopefully this one, our 100th will be our Halloween special. Maybe if we can keep making them all like holiday specials, it'll make it easier.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that'd be nice. Just don't make it like the Star Wars holiday special, because that's, ugh. Felt like the crud I had last week.
Yeah, that still is in the making. Unfortunately, I was not able to get it handled like I wanted to, but I will get that one out to you guys soon. So,
yeah, it's a fun listen. Yeah, you definitely love it. It's interesting. That's all.
So, guys, we want to thank you guys again. This is our 50th show. Want to thank you guys all for being there from the beginning, subscribing, helping us out, getting the word out. You know, definitely our Facebook group has grown at leaps and bounds lately, and our listening group has grown leaps and bounds. So, again, thank you guys so much. And we did finally get the invites and all the information for our up-and-coming con that we're going to be going to.
KaiserCon, baby!
That's right. So we definitely have that coming up here shortly in March.
I'm excited. It's going to be fun times.
Yeah, about 2 months we have it.
Yeah, we should get everything. We'll have some surprises and stuff in store. I don't want to reveal too much, but there's some stuff that I'm working on, and it should be very, very cool. So hopefully you guys can make it out there. It's a Friday and a Saturday. I think, what, Friday's 4 to 9?
4 to 8.
4 to 8, and then Sunday's 10 to
no, 6. Saturday's like, 10 to 4, actually. It's a smaller one. It's only the Friday and Saturday, but, you know, get out there. They're going to have the 501st unit out there, the Stormtroopers. You're going to have Athena.
Bill Finger's granddaughter's there, I think, too.
Athena Finger, she'll be out there. Batman Historian, I know I want to send Kane over there just to pick her brain. I'm sure he'll be in heaven.
Oh, my God. I can't wait.
And there's a lot of cosplay groups going to be out there. There's another group I want to send you out to, the Gotham cosplay folks. I think you'll have fun hanging out with them.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
So
the 501st.
Yeah,
that's wild. When I saw the 501st, I was going to be like, really? That's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's why
they were on Mandalorian this season.
Exactly, they were. Yeah. And they were there towards the end. So, well, we will actually be discussing that part of our end of the year, kind of, you know, what we feel is like the best parts of this year. I mean, other than the fact of us launching and getting the show going, you know,
that was the best part of the year. That was the number one.
But we're just going to run through kind of like we do normally on our shows. We're going to run through the, not news, but kind of what dropped this year, movies, TV shows, comic book runs that we feel like really should stand out and get attention for the year of 2019 until we, you know, before we jump into the 2020 and start a whole new series of stuff coming out. We got some new plans next year. But so we're going to go ahead and get started. No admissions award today. So I guess we can just kind of jump into like a, we're going to start doing
TV first?
I was thinking we can jump into movies. Because movies, there was a lot of big ones here. Okay. So we can go ahead and get that started. So let's give it a little generic thingy music for it.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, I want to shoot, baby.
Packed in your stack, especially in the back. Brother, want to thank your mother for a butt like that.
Thought Deadpool would be good to enter us into the into the movie field.
Oh, Deadpool. Gotta love the guy. Yes. He should be on this show.
Yeah, Hopefully one day. One day.
So one day.
So there were a lot of movies that came out this year. I mean, this was a pretty busy year overall. January was kind of a slow year. I didn't see much coming out in January, but like February we had Alita.
That was okay. I'm not a, like, I don't want to say I'm the resident anime guy, by the way. If you like anime, you know, send me and Mike a message on Facebook. you know, we could use somebody. But I thought it was all right. CG kind of like took me out of it for a while. But the movie as a whole, you know, it's solid, but you know, it wasn't great.
That one does drop into my top, honestly. For the freshness of it, the type of character that it was, and just the like you were saying, the CGI was just amazing on it.
Some movies, the CG will either pull you in or take you out.
Yeah.
And that was one of the movies that kind of took the CG, especially with the eyes.
The eyes threw me off.
There was something, I don't know, there's something that's wrong about them. I mean, that's like the hardest thing to do, especially in CG. And if you notice, they did it in Rogue One with Tarkin and then same movie with Leia. Is like the one thing that they fail to do as far as like that CG, mocap, whatever it is. I forgot, some kind of new technology. But is the eyes. The eyes are like the toughest thing to do. As an artist myself, the hardest thing for me to draw is eyes.
I think with Alita, it was on purpose. Her eyes were supposed to be big like
because
that.
Because she was the android. Yeah, I don't know.
So,
I
think so to me, that was just me getting used to it. But once I got used to it, I was fine with it because it just was part of it. And again, just another representation of a strong female character. And again, an original one to most normies out there. Most normies don't know of her. I'm a bit into the anime, very little, probably about as much as you are. I think you and I have like our handful of ones we like, but we don't delve into it. But I know she had she was a big anime character, and I just think that for somebody that has never seen that character, or even anybody out there that's just like I said, a normie, I think it was a good introduction to that. And the acting was amazing too. It's a solid case.
I think I'll tell you what, it was better than what was that movie that Scarlett Johansson was in? Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, yeah. That one. Yeah, that was.
Boy, that was. I don't think we have enough time to talk about that.
No, we don't.
But Alita Battle Angel is a step up from that. I'll just say that.
Next one after that, it's not really in our vein, so to speak, but it is in a way, because if anybody knows, Kane and I, we're wrestling fans. But this year, just the same week as Alita came out, Fighting With My Family came out.
I loved it, man. I tell you what, Florence Pugh is on the rocket ship to stardom right now. I mean, she did that film, and I think she did Little Women, and she's in Black Widow next year. She's definitely moving up in the world, and I liked it for what it was. I mean, on the surface, it looked kind of silly, the whole concept of the movie. But then when you see it, it's like, oh, it's almost like a hero's journey. I think we've talked ad nauseum of the hero's journey. That's like the easiest point of storytelling to tell in wrestling or, you know, in any kind of medium. But I like that movie a lot. I did. I liked her journey going from what she was to just basically being comfortable in her own skin, which basically was the whole moral of the story. And I thought she was great. Yeah. I thought she was really great. And Dwayne Johnson was good, too.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I actually had seen the documentary about her family a few years back, and I thought it was really cool to see it come up. And it was really, I mean, it was very close. And they did do some fluffing. They merged certain characters. Like the Vince Vaughn character was a mixture of like five different other
wrestling coaches. Like five different guys.
Yeah. You know, Rock was sort of involved, but not as involved as it like looked.
No.
But there was definitely some good spots, and it was a fun one.
It was fun. It's like as you said, we're big wrestling guys, so it's definitely not the wrestler like the Mickey Rourke wrestler movie, which is that's a dark one.
Yeah, that's a dark one.
That's a dark one, and you'll be getting the tears out. Yeah. Or that, or the I think we've talked about the Jake the Snake Roberts documentary. I had a whole bag of tears that night.
I told you and Willie both. I was like, pull out the tissue. There's going to be some man tears in this one.
I think I ran through a box. I was like bawling. I was like, no, it's Jake Roberts.
But I think Fighting with My Family is good for like the non-wrestling fans that want to see kind of like.
Oh, yeah.
They want to see the heart of why are people all into this thing? And you actually get to see the heart of really independent guys that are women and parents and families that are out there, and you just see the heart side of it, and then you see Paige's side, and you find, you know, when she did retire at such a young age, why it was so heartbreaking in real life to see that moment.
Yeah, it was really sad because she definitely had, I mean, she still has a lot to give to the business nowadays. Yeah. I mean, she still does now, but you know, as an active performer, it's got to kill you, you know, especially when you work all your way up to do that and then just taken away.
Yep. So that was February. So like I said, for me, Alita was definitely a big one for me. A good way to start off the year. Next one, March. Unless you can think of anything in February that I might skip over.
I don't see anything in March. No.
March. Actually, the only one that was in March was Captain Marvel, and we've talked of Captain Marvel pretty consistent. I never saw a reason to have her. I felt you and I think we're discussing this last Thursday or last week at some point that actually even our friend Cindy, we were talking about it, she agreed with me, which I thought was surprising. I felt that Captain Marvel was something that got done to have somebody have a female character in there. But in the meantime, they had a great person. The Black Widow movie that should have been the first.
That should have been before Marvel. I mean, like you said, that character has been established for like almost 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You talk about a deserving person who deserved a movie.
The second Iron Man movie.
It was, and then out of the nowhere, you're like, you know what? Let me just make Captain Marvel. And on the business side, I guess they want to think, hey, you know, our first hero in movie should be somebody powerful and super. But I mean, Black Widow had all those things, yeah. And she didn't have any powers. So I don't know.
And from a comic book,
I've seen that movie once. Yeah. I've only seen that movie once, and that's like the only Marvel MCU movie that I have never seen more than twice.
I have, just because I wanted to give it the couple of times over, thinking, okay, I went in with me all the obviously not being a Captain Marvel fan, not being thinking that she really deserved a movie, nothing against it being a female character, please, guys. So don't think that when I say this, she as a character in the Marvel universe was nothing really. They forced her to become a little bit more, and even her comic books still to this day still are not big sellers.
They're not. I mean, look, she's an okay character. I guess you would say like Miss Marvel is more of a popular character. Kamala Khan, I guess.
More now, yeah.
Her background. Yeah. But, you know, just not needed. I mean, the actress they got to play her was fine. And the movie was okay. I mean, I like seeing the Skrulls and all that. That was cool. And took place in the way Nick Fury loses the eye is kind of lame. I'm sorry. I mean, out of all the ways to lose it, like, really? Come on, man. Like, you couldn't think something better.
Yeah, and I don't say that's one of those movies. Though, somebody asked about, you know, should I see that before I see the Avengers? And I was like, yeah, honestly, you don't need to see it. It doesn't do much to answer anything in the Avengers, honestly.
Nah, you don't need to. I mean, if you want to see it, like, down the road, that's fine. But, yeah. You know, unnecessary. So.
Next one would be April. The month of April, we actually had good three releases. And I think one of the better ones of the year. Actually, I'm going to put this one up there. Most likely, looking over my list, I'm going to put this one in like my top three. The very first one, April 5th this year, Shazam came out.
I got Shazam as number four for me.
So yeah, I would put him three or four. Yeah, because I just feel we got the DC Holy Trinity that we talk about, and then we had Aquaman. But Shazam was a very strange character. You know, he was originally from Timely Comics, and then he was originally the Captain Marvel, you know, and then he was bought up. Timely was eventually bought over, those properties were bought over from them into DC. He was Captain Marvel for a while, then he just sort of vanished, and then they brought Billy back in the 70s. If anybody remembers the 70s TV show, you know, them driving around in the RV, and you know, I think I think he was always kind of there. They eventually brought him back during something we just recently talked about, covering the Crisis. That's when they actually brought him back into the DC universe.
Yeah, I think he was dead for a while, if I'm not mistaken.
He was, yeah.
They used
him for a little bit, but they brought him back into the DC fold when they folded everything in with the Crisis. But he was just, again, one of those weird characters. He was there. He was kind of chill, but he was on level with the strength of Superman, and actually could beat Superman because of his magic.
I believe in the Kingdom Come comic, he actually beat Superman up pretty handily.
Yeah,
so
he did. Yeah,
he was not like some kind of side character, no, or anything like that. But
I love what they did. Brought in the family. Brought in him.
I think that was the biggest thing. The biggest holy crap moment for me was when they brought in the family, because I had no idea. Like, I never heard rumors about it. Like, people like, you didn't hear the rumors? Like, no, I didn't.
I didn't hear anything.
I had no clue. And when I saw them, I was like, oh, okay. So we're good about the whole family in there. That's pretty nice.
And I thought it was a good refreshing character, because, again, we've been bombarded by Superman, Batman for so long, and to actually get a character fresh take, he's still in that world. They dropped a few nuggets that he's still in that world.
Yep.
But it was something different. That's why I put it up there. And it was finally DC showing, hey, we can do something without our big three.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a tragedy that movie didn't make as much or more money than it should have, because I liked it a lot. And I've seen that movie like maybe five times.
Yeah.
And each time I watch it, I just like it more and more. There's just some things about it that there's like little idiosyncrasies that when I watch a movie, and if I keep watching it, I like watching it for certain things. I'll point out, like, Dr. Minerva. a character that I never, in my wildest dreams, would ever thought seeing on the screen played by a great actor. And they took it seriously, but it was kind of, it was fun at the same time. And that's what I kind of dug about it. I was like, okay, so DC's, you know, they're twisting their way. It doesn't have to be dark and brooding and everybody's, you know, crying. But now we had like a fun DC movie.
Yep.
And I guess they compared it to Big. And yeah, that's probably the best comparison I would use out there for a film that's, you know, been out there for a while.
Definitely. Next one for April 12th, Hellboy came out. I actually enjoyed it. It's not in my top, but I thought it was really good because it had the heartbeat of the comic book. I did miss when I walked out of there. I did miss Ron, but I felt that this movie had more of the heartbeat in the you know, the soul of the comic book than anything
else. Yeah, I got it as number six, so it's not my top five, but it's like another movie that was, you know, it was good. I mean, it's not Ron Perlman, you're right, but he was okay. And for the movie, for what it was okay. It was like they showed like a lot of things with that the police. I mean, to me, it was kind of like done very choppy, very fast. I mean, there was a lot of scenes that kind of bugged me. There was like one scene in particular, I think we talked about it, where they left a certain room, and then like 2 seconds later, which it's supposed to be like a new scene with a new background.
No, it was at one point in the movie, it was her room that the I can't remember.
It was something where they used the same
room. Yeah, it was the same room
like twice in a row.
It was the room that when she was a child, her parents brought her in, or brought Hellboy in, and I was like, hey, that's the same apartment as she's living in now, and they just like move things around. And I'm like, it's like, I understand shoestring budget, but like, so change the pictures up, do something a little bit different, you know?
Yeah, you could have just, you know.
Think honestly, I believe this one was a sleeper one to me because it was, the more times I watched it, the more I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, like I said, it's not like the other Hellboys; they were more heavily produced, had a little bit more money behind them, but it was solid for what it was. I mean,
and I think that's why I like this, because it didn't have that money. To me, Hellboy's not polished.
No,
you know, if you look at the comic books, it's not a polished comic book. It's rough looking, and that's why I think.
And that's what the Hellboy character is. He ain't polished, dude. He's just like, well, whatever. I mean, he had the Ron Perlman mannerisms a little bit, but then he added some of his own weight, which I thought was kind of cool too. So I was like, okay, you know, this is Hellboy. I got it. I'm in it. You know, he's finding some magic witch. You know, gets taken apart, put back together. I think one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when he's going in the house and the house starts walking. And
oh yeah, that whole scene with her and that witch.
Like, they had some like weird shit going on. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool.
Her wandering around upside down and stuff. Like,
yeah,
I was like,
the Baba
that
Yaga,
just bothered
whatever.
Me.
Yeah. Like, Baba Yaga. Like, okay. Yeah. John Wick in this movie too. I don't
know, next one, April 26th. The movie that broke records that, you know, around the world, Avengers Endgame drops.
That's my number two.
Yeah, that's up there too.
Number two. Yeah, I mean, what else can you say? I mean, there's really nothing.
No, there's really nothing. It's already set its own.
it's the culmination of 23 movies ending the Infinity Saga. And, you know, they put a bow on it and they ended it. And they ended it well. No other movie studio has ever done that.
Yeah, nobody.
Star Wars, not Star Trek. They have, nobody's ever intertwined 22 movies to culminate with the 23rd movie. And you have this joy, like, oh, wow. Like, and everything was that you thought was going to be in this movie was basically in this movie. They literally threw the kitchen sink at it. I mean, my God, one of the best scenes in that movie is literally towards the end with the portals opened up and that great music and everybody's coming back. And, oh, it's just everything from that, like that last 45 minutes of that war is just like just pure spectacle.
Man. Yeah.
And I just kept grinning. There was a smile from ear to ear.
Yeah, I think that one, the moment in Captain America: Civil War when they all were like in the airport and they were all like lined up, like I got like chills on that. But then like you take that of that scene that you were just talking about in Endgames, and it just magnify that. That's,
yeah, you just plus it.
I was like, oh my God, everybody's there. And then, you know, there were certain things in the movie I was like, okay, yeah, that's kind of silly. But I mean, but just their groundbreaking, what they did, and, you know, it's, I think it's gonna be my number two on my list. As
yeah,
well,
it's my number two movie. I kind of flip flopped it with my other one, but my number one's a little bit different. So, but yeah, it's definitely worth watching. And, you know, I've seen that movie like five times. It never gets old.
No, it never does.
Yeah.
And kind of on a side note, did you see the post that came out last week? Martin Scorsese's daughter, his Christmas gift was wrapped in Marvel wrapping paper, which I was like, thumbs up to you, girl. That and the fact that hopefully he enjoyed it,
girl.
And he hopefully I would think Scorsese would have to laugh at it and go, okay,
he's got to laugh. That's funny.
I mean, if his daughter's that smart ass enough to do that kind of humor, then he's got to have that too. So.
He's got to be on the jokes. He's like, haha, funny granddaughter. Yeah. You're not getting no inheritance from me.
let's see our next one, which I kind of threw. I mean, I'm basically just doing the list of what came out this year, but in our genre. And this one fell in our genre in two kind of ways. Pokemon Detective Pikachu. I don't know if did you get a chance to see it or not.
Yeah, it was cute.
I mean, it was cute. Ryan Reynolds was in it.
I'm not a big Pokemon guy, but it was cute.
Yeah, me either. My son was into it, but just the fact it Pokemon, Ryan Reynolds was in it. I thought it was fun.
The whole thing that threw me off was Ryan Reynolds voicing Pokemon.
He kept waiting for him to drop a Deadpool reference or something.
I was waiting for it, and it never happened. But he was good. Like, you know, when Ryan eventually does, you know, as we all do, we all going to get a little bit older and a little bit slower. But he definitely has a career, in voice acting if he ever wanted to do it. So he did a good job. I mean, literally, if they did an animated series of Deadpool, he could voice until the end of time.
Too. Well, yeah, he can voice anything that sounds like him. I don't know how good he is of a Hamill level or, you know.
Yeah, that's stick with one character. Hey, I know a lot of people stick with one character for their whole life and they make money off it. So.
All right, so that was that one. Now the end of May we're at, and I'm going to put money on it. I might be wrong, but I'm going to put money on it. I believe this was your number one. John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum.
No. I'll tell you what, to believe it or not, I didn't even have it in my top 10.
Really? Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought that
was I like Chapter 3 a lot. People compared it to the first movie. Were very similar, but I kind of like Chapter 2 a little bit better. I thought, and people hated Chapter 2 for some reason. I don't know why.
I was more of a Chapter 2 fan than a 3.
Yeah, I like Chapter 3, but then, you know, something dawned on me when I was watching it for like the fifth or sixth time, and I think it was, it's becoming, not problematic, but it's becoming very routine, the John Wick movies now. It's like, okay, we know what's going on. Okay, this movie, he loses a finger. Okay, he's still, you know, like, there's no cats or dogs dying, but there's always something. He's the lore of the Continentals you get to hear a little bit more of. I wanted to hear more about the High Table. Like, I didn't care about some dude in the desert. I didn't care less about that crap. Now, the way they're going for Chapter 4, if they do it right, is a little bit different. You know, him fighting the High Table. It was like, it's okay. I mean, he had that one chick who came in there with the black coin, and she never got her comeuppance. I'm like, what? Come on. Really? She gets to go away? And then this guy betrayed him and like scenes. I think with Rise of Skywalker, I talked about like a lot of good scenes and moments that I dug. Same thing with Parabellum Part 3. Like there was a lot of good scenes and things that I dug. But as a whole, I just, you know, it was okay. But not my favorite.
Very good. Well, our next one, we'll jump into the end of May. Actually, a week later. Probably one of you and I's probably favorite movies this year. Brightburn. I put that one that is in my top. That is number one for me.
Where do I have it? Mine is number five.
Five. Yeah, for me, number one because of just the originality of the show, of it. Yes, it was the superhero genre, so I know people are going to go, oh, that's not very original. But the take of a person in that position of, I have this power. I really wasn't brought up the right way.
There were some things
that were going on in the background. I think that I think would have, you know, changed it a little bit, you know, got him to go a different way. I just think the overall, if any of us had that power and any of us had that ability, what would we do? And I think it was great.
I loved it because it was just like the big twist. It's like, you know, it's a Superman movie. It basically is like a big twist of Superman. It's like, okay, if he landed on Earth and instead of like saving humanity, what if he wanted to destroy it? And as a kid. And basically, you know, when he goes into that barn, you know, you have like the, you know, the Dick Donner Superman moment where you think he's going to pick up the little rock and like, hey, he's going to build, you know, the Fortress of Solitude. But no, this whole thing is telling him, destroy humanity, rule humanity. I'm like, oh, damn. Okay. And he goes out there and he just like, he breaks a girl's arm. He kills a waitress and then like dissects her. That was weird.
Yeah.
Part of the movie. Like he had the whole body in the barn. I'm like, that's a, and then when he lasered his father to death, I'm like, oh my God. It was really good. It was like you said, it's out of the box. It just takes that lore of Superman and just twists it. That, you know, many people want to see, like I did. I was totally down for it. I was like, evil Superman, give it to me.
Yeah, definitely. I was on board with it. You and I are fans of the X or the Elseworld, so that definitely showed a sign right there,
yes,
with that.
Sir.
Next one, it was May 31st. So May we've got four releases going on. May 31st was Godzilla, King of Monsters.
Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Enough. I want to see part three. I want to see him fight Kong. I want to see him go to Monster Zero. No, actually, we did see Monster Zero. They threw that hint out in that movie. I thought I was like, oh my God, that's so... When they said, yeah, what's that, Monster Zero? I'm like, yes!
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed that. I hadn't really caught up on all of the Godzilla movies that they had been coming out with. But
by the way, that's my number three of the year. Is Godzilla.
Was it? All right, yeah. Perfect. And let's see here.
What else do you have?
After that, June 7th, the only one actually in June that came out was the last X-Men movie for Dark Phoenix.
Don't even have it in my top 10.
No, I don't either, but it was still a fun movie. I think it was
fun, but I think by this time, the X-Men franchise, you could see it's just started to fade.
Well, also, I think when they went in this, they already knew they were done. So it went. They didn't have any heart into making the movie. You could just see it.
The actors were fine. I mean, like the actors, like I said, were fine in this series. It's just like the story was just like, it's, if you want to go out with a bang, go out with a bang. And this one just kind of went out with a whimper.
Yeah, it did. That's what I'm thinking. Honestly, if these guys knew, hey, you know, this is our last ride, we're going to finish this trilogy that really launched a lot of the Marvel stuff that has gone on longer, you know, and you want to look at time that it's been going. Yes, this series has been going longer than Marvel did. The MCU, I would have gone, hey, let's, like you said, let's go out with a bang. Let's make a awesome script. Let's do whatever we want to do because nothing matters after this, because Marvel, yeah, MCU is probably going to do whatever they want. I'm sure that they were working on a less budget because Fox knew that they were, you know, they just were, just finish it up and just move on, you know, so I'm sure they didn't have the budget, but they could have done a lot bigger and a lot more in the story. I feel like the ending of it was like they were just like rushing through, but from the park into that building was just like too much went on there. Like they could have moved it around a lot more.
Speaking of this movie, there's an old adage. I think Chad Trzesinski, he's one of the directors of John Wick, and he spoke about, you know, making the first John Wick basically wasn't a lot of money. And when you don't have a lot of money for a movie, it allows you to focus more on things and get creative. And I think what this movie could have done, you know, if you don't have that big budget, you could just be creative.
Yeah.
You could just like do different things. And I think it's like you said before, it's very lazy filmmaking. And it's like, okay, well, we have this budget, so let's just do this. I mean, you could have done a lot of other stuff. You could have still had the Shi'ar in there. You didn't have to go to outer space to do it, but you could have brought them to Earth.
Yeah. Look at what Marvel did with
The Skrulls?
The Skrulls. The only time we saw them in outer space was on Endgame, but we saw them on Earth during, you know, with Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to do exactly like a beat for beat of the Dark Phoenix comic book trilogy or saga, whatever it was, but you can incorporate it. You could just be creative by have the Shi'ar come to Earth, or just like they take some over some kind of country and then like they're going after the Phoenix. I mean, there's a lot of have to be lazy about it. Like, hey, you know what? Hey, we're gonna. What's the last scene? It's gonna be in a train. I go, great, another freaking train fight. Like I haven't seen that 1,000 times before. You know, it's just like that same trope.
Yeah,
it just gets old. And then
it was in a train because of the budget. But like you were saying, yeah, I think they could have done more in storytelling than anything. Yeah. But I think they were just defeated and it's like, hey, this is our last one. And honestly, if they went out with a bang on a good story, I bet you the MCU would have gone, man, they went out on a good story. We can pick up on that and continue their story. But now they're like, yeah, they went out like with a mild fart. You know, let's just let them die. We'll bring them back in a year.
Those guys don't exist. So, okay, yeah. Goodbye. And it's just, yeah. What was it? Like, I've seen that movie maybe twice.
I think twice. I saw it once in the theater.
That's
and then,
about it.
And then,
you always to twice rule.
Yeah. So. Next one is July 2nd, actually. Came out for the 4th of July weekend. Spider-Man Far From Home.
I didn't even have it in my top 10.
No.
No.
It was okay.
I thought it was okay. Yeah, exactly. You know what? It all needs to be said. It was just okay. That's it. It really was. It was fine. I mean, I had some cool jokes. You know, I don't like when they mess up the name of the snap, the Thanos snap. You know, yeah. It was called the Decimation, and stupid, yeah. And silly. And then he wore his prototype black suit, and he was a Night Monkey. I'm like the best part of the movie was Jake Gyllenhaal's Mysterio.
That, yeah, it was.
He
yeah.
he was the movie. That was it. I was like, once he did that turn, I'm like, oh god, yeah, that's fucking Mysterio. And when he went deep into the special effects, and especially that there was one scene in the movie where it was like the zombie Iron Man. I'm like, oh wow, they're really going all out.
Yeah,
I'm like that. Okay, that's what I remember from the animated series in the '90s. Was he was fighting Mysterio, and all this weird shit was going on, special effects wise, and he couldn't tell what was real and what wasn't. So, like I said. When he was in it on the screen, I loved it. But everything else was like, you know, textbook. Okay, fine. All right, you got with Mary Jane. Great.
Probably. Yeah, that and the whole Aunt May and what's his name?
Happy.
Happy. Yeah. I was like, okay, can we not? Okay, let's move on. But I think it was a good place marker. I think they were still not sure what they were going to do with it. It was post Endgame, so I mean, everything was in a weird place for Marvel and still is. You know that
it
really,
was, like I said, it was okay. It wasn't the like I said. That's one of the, like you just said to you know piggyback off that. You know, after Endgame, where are you going to go?
Yeah, this was like the end of the book. So it was at the prologue. This was like the prologue to Endgame. You know, it was okay. The story's over with. Let's just say catch up on what happened after the you know the last chapter. This is just kind of what was going on. Because when you think about it, the next Marvel movie's happening in the past. Well, you know, so we're not getting a new Marvel movie until further down, you know.
Yeah,
we haven't gotten anything new.
I'm trying to, Eternals will be like
will probably the next be the first one,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is that's... the true to me, that is the first one of the new phase. You know, this was the Spider-Man was just a prologue to the end of this last phase.
Now the ending of Spider-Man was really cool.
That was cool, yeah. I was like, okay.
I like the ending was great. I was like, oh shit, okay. No, you gotta move forward with this. Okay. Good idea. If you guys didn't see it yet, you have spoilers. The movie's been out for almost, you know, a while now.
But, yeah. The July 2nd. You guys have had your time.
Yeah, you had your time. But when this guy shows back up as J. Jonah, and he's more of an internet blogger now, and he reveals the world what Spider-Man is. I was like, oh, okay, you did the what the fuck moment. Thanks.
Yeah.
Now we're moving forward. Okay.
You brought people. So there was one of those few times that they actually were listening to what fans wanted.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, there's no here can't be any other J. Jonah. Only he is J. Jonah for us right now because he did such a great job in the Raimi series. And when they brought him back, I was like, okay. Full on fan service, but thank you for doing that. That's
the fan service that works. You're like, okay, yeah, I want, and I was crying for that for years. Like, put him in the movie. Like, you haven't cast anybody since him, the Raimi Spider-Man. So it's just like he's still there. You can still do it.
Yep. Next one would be August 7th, and The Kitchen was the one that came out in August.
Not in my top 10. But have you seen the movie yet?
Yes, I did see it, yeah.
Okay. I like it. I dug it.
It was good. It was close as close to the comic book as I could get. There were a few character changes I wasn't thrilled with, and I scratched my head on it. But that was about it. I don't know
which
if
ones,
there was,
which ones? Like,
trying to remember the character. One of the characters wasn't I'm trying to remember now. Shoot. I'm so bad with the actresses' names. That's why. It's so, but the younger sibling wasn't really a sibling. They were some of them. Two of them were sisters, and the other one was like a close neighbor. And they made them too close, I think.
Yeah. I thought what's her name? Melissa McCarthy was pretty solid, and the black chick. I forgot her name. Oh God, it's slipping my head. Something. If you guys can remember her name, Rose, you know, just let me know. But the whole thing where she went to villainy really fast was kind of like,
yeah, that was why? That was a slow build in the comic
books.
That was
weird. Like the way it happened, it was like, wait, they're friends. Like they're doing it for them, and they're taking over their husband's business, and they're doing it for them. And then all of a sudden, she's like, no, I want the whole thing. It just It felt kind of off.
Yeah. Well, it was Ruby O'Carroll, who you're talking about. Tiffany Haddish is the actress.
Yeah, okay, that's it.
You know, and again, it's one of those ones that's, that was another, like, a change I felt that didn't need to be made as far as, like, race changing. I don't see the reason why these are Irish people in Hell's Kitchen. That was a predominantly white group, and that's, yeah, they should have just stuck to that. I don't know why they went that route, but
yeah, I don't know why either. It's just like, it's like almost like you want to cater. Oh, we gotta cast somebody else. Like, it doesn't have to be all white. But in that case, it's okay.
But yeah, no, there was like I said, there were a few character changes, and it didn't impact the story, but it just wasn't. I was kind of scratching my head. I was like, why would you even bother changing? I don't understand what the reason is, other than, and I hate to use a wrestling term or a thought, if anybody's familiar with, like, how Vince McMahon, with Vince, you know, in the WWE, if they ever take a character, a wrestler, from one company to another, they give him a brand new name because they want to have a stamp on that character. And it's almost like what they did here was, you know, okay, yeah, we're going to redo that, but God, we want to have our own personal stamp, so we're going to change something.
I'll give you a clear example, and this basically is going to lead right to the, you know, to your thoughts in the kitchen. Shane Douglas in ECW was the man, world champion, triple threat, all that stuff. He was the franchise, all right? Big on top. Signs with WWE. Who is he? He's Dean Douglas.
Yeah.
And I'm going to teach you what you're doing wrong in the ring.
Yeah, it's you have a good story, you have a good character, but you want to change it just to say, well, that's my character, that's my stamp on this movie. Just write the story like it is. Don't touch it.
Yeah.
I don't know why some people do that, but now we went to October, and October 4th. I think this one will be your number one now that I killed off the first one, I thought. The Joker.
Yep. Number one of the year. Not even a question. I know you have your issues with the movie about it being an origin story for a villain, but even then, it wasn't really an origin story because if you think about it, like, towards the end, he still doesn't know who his parents are. Nobody knows where he came from. He was adopted. Some shit was done to the kid, so obviously he was abused.
When I say origin, I don't need to know his sperm, you know, origin. I'm talking origin.
But we don't know. We still don't know where he came from.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, we do. We know he came from that part of New York, or, you know, of Gotham.
Oh yeah,
and he was raised this way. When I talk about an origin, that's what I talk about, is how, what made you what you are, not what made you your physical being, but what made you the character you are. We saw the origin. We saw what the things he went through, his mindset. That's an origin story. I don't know. Like I said, I don't need to know the, you know what ball sack he came out of. I just need to know what, you know, his story origin, and that's where we got. And again, I just, to me, we talked about it. Guys, go back into our archive. You'll find it. We, Kane and I, have had a discussion. But with this, it's the same notion that I put with Joker, and what they did with him is the same thing I think they did to Darth Vader with the prequels. You took an amazing bad character, of the true hate bad guy. I'm a bad guy. And you wussified him. You gave him a reason to be doing what he's doing. To me, the biggest villain is you don't know sometimes what the reason is. And that's the thing with Joker. You never knew why he did what he did. He just did it.
I liked it for what it was, because it's like, and I keep thinking in the Elseworlds theory, like, you know, kind of like Gotham. When I watched Gotham, okay, it's not really the Batman I know, but it's a different story of incantation. Same thing with Joker. It's just like, it shows you that breakdown of a mental illness person and how far he went. Like, he could have gone one direction, but he chose to go another. Yes. Is it an origin story by per se for this Joker? Yes, it is. I mean, we still don't know his parent lineage, but we know what, you know, his upbringing was. We know, like, he was born in this part of Gotham. We know that he has a lot of resentment, but it's still in there. And I thought, for me, it worked because it was just so different. Did I want a Joker origin movie? No way. I probably said that 1,000 times. If I said it, like, the first time, like, I don't want a Joker origin movie. But when I saw it, I was like, okay,
I'm still not taking away that it's not a good. I'm not taking away that it wasn't a good movie. It was a great movie. It's just the subject matter. The person that it's about, I was just like, yeah, okay, I just don't want one because I've seen.
I loved it. That's the thing. Did I want it? No, I didn't want it at all. I told you like 1,000 times I don't want no joke.
Yeah, I just think, what, you know, I don't want the. Sometimes, yes, like you say, you know, the best villain is sometimes somebody that you agree with, and sometimes it's just the ones that just, you don't know why they're doing it. And again, like I said, Vader is always my example of a good ruining of a good villain, and that's why I don't like to get origin stories of villains.
Thanks, George. Yeah.
And the next movie coming out, kind of falls into that genre. I enjoyed the movie. I had fun with it. But again, I don't want to know the origin of probably one of the biggest baddies in Disney history in the princess realm was Maleficent. Maleficent, the Mistress of Evil, the second movie. Both the first movie and the second movie liked, but I just... Again, you're taking what was evil. You know, Maleficent was truly the evil queen bee out there. And just like, and like I said, she, when you used to do a running list of the biggest baddies, her, Darth Vader, you know, they were up there. And this is just showing a good side to her. Again, fun movie. Just, that's the one thing I'm like, why are they doing that? Why are you explaining my villains?
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I know you didn't. I know, but I guess
I saw the first one. I just like, there was just so many things I heard about it, so I can't speak per se what happened in this movie. I mean, it looks like they went beat for beat from the first one, but I would I'll agree with
you. Yeah, it didn't go beat for beat. You know, it was a different story. It was just another person who didn't trust the woodland creatures.
Oh,
that may be the only thing that would say if it's sort of similar. Of that a kingdom doesn't trust the woodland creatures, and that's about it.
Okay.
Probably the next movie will probably be the same way. I think you saw, I didn't see, so that's why I still added it. But November 1st, Terminator, Dark Fate.
Yeah, it wasn't even in my top 10 because the beginning of the movie just kind of threw me out of it, and I kind of hate watched it all the way through because, you know, there's a lot of I hate watched it.
You grudge watched it.
Because the beginning just kind of threw me off, and then like you find out, I don't even want to spoil it because it is kind of relatively still. I think it's still in theaters. Hopefully they pull it pretty soon because.
Yeah, I think it's getting ready to drop.
The
on
beginning
DVD,
of the movie basically destroys the first two Terminator movies for me.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And then you find out something else happens, and it's like, who, why, you know? Okay. We knew about Skynet the first two movies. They're the big bad. All the corporation robots come to life. Okay, cool. I gotcha. You know what? I'm going to spoil it. I'm going to tell you exactly what happens. The beginning of the movie, they kill John Connor. Literally. They kill him. They murder him. The first two movies, they couldn't get to him as a kid.
How old was he when they killed him?
He was the same age he was in Terminator 2. Like, literally.
Oh, okay.
The same exact age. It's like it took, like, the movie in the beginning takes place, like, right after T2.
Oh, okay. Because
you see Linda Hamilton and the kid in some kind of beach bar, whatever. And then the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator shows up and blows it, you know, shoots him in the stomach, and he's dead.
Huh.
Like, what? Like, why is this happening? And then you find out later that same Terminator that killed John Connor, like, became, like, a dad, which was weird. And then you find out that this Terminator was sending signals to Lyndall Hamilton's character that, hey, there's other Terminators coming through the time breach. You know, here's some coordinates so you can go kill them. Why? And then you find out the Skynet is gone and this other company, Legion, takes over. Legion? But why does Legion want to do the same thing? I don't know anything about no Legion. Oh, but Legion in the future, who the fuck cares? And they guess what, Mike? There's another Terminator. And he's even more badass. He does the same shit, but he can turn into two people at the same time. It just was, like, pointless. Like, you had, there's this, like, no, it's like, you had all this lore, and you took that lore, and James Cameron was behind this, too. So shame on you, James. Big shame. Like, I get you want to change things up for a series, and that's cool, but you got to keep that heart, the heartbeat of the OG stuff. It's kind of like what the original Star Wars trilogy works for me. Even the prequels, to a point, they still kept, like, a common vine going through. This one, you claim, is like the third one to the second one, but you ruined the first two movies. It's almost like Terminator Jenny Smith, that like it was the same thing. When that got released, it basically said, oh, you watched the first two Terminator movies? Guess what? Those don't mean shit.
And folks, he's referring to Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, sorry.
For you new listeners, that's what he's referring to.
Yeah, Terminator Jenny Smith.
I know Cainism, so.
But, yeah, it is a Cainism. But it's just like, why... Well, I do it.
That's what I thought that we're going to kind of do. That's why I didn't want to.
That's why I didn't want to ruin. I hope you never watch it.
Yeah,
if you want to hate watch it, hate watch it. But,
hate watch it.
But
We need to start doing that on the Midnight Movie Show to do some hate watching.
Yeah, we should do some hate watching because I was like literally I was just angry. It was almost like when I was watching Rise of Skywalker where I'm just tapping my finger almost every 10 minutes like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Speaking of which, that will be our next movie release this year, December 20th. Kane, myself, and a few friends got to see it on the 19th. Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. Putting it up there in my top five, actually, as well. I know Kane will not. No, Kane will not.
Not even top 10.
Kane has issues. We're still kind of awaiting. We do have a spoiler one. I'm thinking we're going to redo our spoiler one because I think he's seen it again and I'm going to see it again. I think we a better one will be.
You want
to
do like a part deux?
Yeah, a part deux of it because I think it'll be better better for us. So that way. But I enjoyed the movie. It was the end of a saga of them trying to pile these pieces together. They did what they could. I was happy to see familiar faces, some new things happening, something a little different, you know. And again, this movie will prove a point that you and I have said you have to give it this much. You and I, this movie is proving a point for one thing. I believe that in years to come, The Last Jedi will be looked upon in better eyes, and that's actually already starting to happen.
Oh, it's
of this movie.
It is starting to be.
Yeah, I've seen the internet somehow flip. Like, wow, I thought the Last Jedi was the Antichrist of all movies, and now this one. It's
no, like... no. That's Rian Johnson with the balls to say, hey, guess what? I'm gonna do it this way, and f you if you don't like it. And I loved it because he flipped it. And that's the way you want it. You want filmmakers to take a risk. And with Rise of Skywalker, it's just like, oh, no. Let me go back. I'm so sorry, guys. Look, I'm going to throw in this in here. And I'm going to throw in the Emperor in here. And then, look, I'm going to throw in the Chewbacca's back. And what else? Oh, look at Red 5. The X-Wing is back, too. Like, that's all he did. And look it. I like the fan service. There was a lot of moments I got teared up. And a lot of it worked. It's like I told you before. There's a lot of moments in this movie I liked a lot. But as a whole, I think it sucks. It just sucks. I thought those characters, those actors deserve a lot better. Adam Driver acted the hell out of this movie.
Yeah.
Like he
was chewing up scenes. He was they both were.
You know, honestly, he was the best part of the trilogy. Not her. She was okay. But I felt like the Last Jedi, she was good. This movie, she was like too, like, you know, by the numbers, paint by the numbers stuff, which is like, you know, whatever. But Adam Driver was great. He deserved far better. His character was great. And like the scenes that he was in, that he acted, dude, you know, bravo to him. Like he's probably one of my new favorite actors going forward. Like, I'll watch some shit that he's going to be in. Yeah. I hope he does like another Star Wars movie, you know, have like the trials of Ben Solo or something in the future, something. But I just felt he was so disserviced in this movie. And there's so much stuff that happens that this makes look it. And I'm going to say this for the 100th time, because we probably talked about this for 100 times. I don't need everything explained to me. I don't. I really don't. However, I would like some things explained to me. Just some. Not all. Just a little bit. Like a little breadcrumb. Like,
Well, we're going to save some of that for later.
Okay.
All right. Because I do have rebuttal for you, and I don't want to get into that now because that's an hour or so long.
Yeah, you'll be here all night. You'll have to call in to work tomorrow.
So that is the end of the movies for this year. Nothing more has come out. I mean, we are literally 3 days away from the new year for our clock. So that is the end of the movies, our end of the year, you know, of what we had. Next, we're going to go over the TV series.
Ooh,
so,
boy.
Yeah, so hold
lots
on.
Lots of good
yeah,
stuff.
Good
lots.
Stuff on this one.
Oh, yeah. Top 10 for this one.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
I've only got about, I mean, I only did really my top five. I did like my top five, really. The ones
I did top 10.
Yeah, did you? Okay.
So, yeah.
Starting off, I mean, the big one, I'm not going to do it chronologically, but I think I'm going to just jump in. This is my number one right off the bat. I think Mandalorian. Did it. They brought it. Disney showed what they could do without having a Skywalker. They showed that they are able to build off of that. They even went outside of even I gotta say, even Rebels and Clone Wars still revolves around the Force users and their journeys of becoming a Jedi or this or that. This was its own standalone character that had nothing to do to no connection of anything other than the Mandalorians and that was it, you know. And I think that was refreshing and great to see that they can build more stories in this, I mean, amazing universe. You know, so what do you got?
I'm going to agree with you 100% on The Mandalorian. It's tied for first, but let me just talk about The Mandalorian a little bit. I think, you know, the ending of an episode, I'm like, oh my God, this was great. And this is good. This is what Star Wars needs to be going forward. You need to have like an 8 or 10 episode streaming series. And it's not about the Skywalkers. They're not even involved Jedi's at all, if anything. I think they mentioned them in the last episode. They mentioned Jedi's.
Yeah, one. But just the one girl, the Iron Worker, she mentions it.
The armor, yeah, she's great, by the way. That's Emily Swallows, by the way, for Supernatural fans. She plays the Darkness. I didn't find out about that till later on. But the whole series as a whole was great. It's connected. It just flows so nicely, which I love. It's more about like that, you know, the old westerns, old spaghetti westerns that from the 70s that I used to watch, or 60s with my dad. It reminded me of that, the lone gunslinger. And the Mandalorian is almost like John Wick, because he gets his ass handed to him a lot of times, but he keeps getting up and fighting. And, you know, he'll get like a new version of armor too, which is kind of cool. And, of course, we're introduced to Baby Yoda. The whole world loves Baby Yoda. I don't know who's in love more. Is it Babu Freak or him, or Baby Yoda? They'll probably have their own TV series, so who knows. But everything about The Mandalorian is great, because they take things from the past. And it's like I've always told you, Mike. I don't want everything. Like, I like when it's connectivity, you know? Like, the movies have done, like, a little slight connection here and there. Hey, look, that's the ghost, but it's gone. This series, they connect things, and it flows so seamlessly. It just flows. And that's the way I've always wanted. That's my hope I always wanted for a movie. But I think that's never going to happen in a movie. So if they're going to do it streaming, and The Mandalorian succeeded in doing that. And I cannot wait for season 2. And I love the way season 1 ended with that big reveal, which I won't say what it is. But I will say, if you're a fan of Rebels and Clone Wars, you'll get the reference.
Yes, you'll definitely.
And for my first favorite TV show of the year, it's tied with The Boys, because The Boys was like another one that it came out. Like, I heard of the comics before, and I was like, what is The Boys? I'm like, okay, I heard of it. And then it came on, and I'm like, they're not going to do what they did in the comics. There's just no way. And it was released on, it was, I don't think it was released on Hulu. It was released on Amazon
Plus or something. Prime,
yeah. And then I saw, I was like, oh, wow. And after watching that series, I went back. I'm like, dude, I got to buy some comics from the Josh and the Boys at Acme. And like, no, we don't have any. We're sold out. I'm like, damn. And I'm still trying to get like an omnibus of The Boys right now.
That series, like, threw me on its head. There's a lot of omnibus for The Boys. You have to. There's several volumes. So you can't.
Yeah. I really want to get into it, because I know the story gets deeper. A certain character they barely use in season 1. I hope. That he is using season 2 a lot more.
Yeah. If they're following the flow.
If they're following the comic, he has a big part to play. So hopefully that'll happen. But yeah, The Mandalorian and The Boys, they're just like neck and neck.
Yeah, they were.
I can't decide which I like more.
Yeah, they both were up there. Yeah, The Boys was my second one. Third one, and I kind of actually had a tie for the third one. Both comic book. But it was between Umbrella Academy and Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol's my number 7.
Yeah, for me, Doom Patrol, I thought they did great taking a property that really was kind of a weird throwaway one.
It's like the Guardians of the Galaxy of DC almost, and yeah, I was shocked how good it was.
And just seeing the characters that they had, the actors did amazing jobs. You don't see Brandon Fraser, but his character is, as weird as it sounds, he's got the most human character out of all of them. But and it's just how he presents and how he tells his story. And just, you know, seeing the addition of Cyborg in there. And seeing just – it was connected with the rest of the DC streaming world, which I thought was great. But I think this one stood above – you know, its own, you know, above all of the others that were out there.
Yeah, it was way better than Titan season 1, that's for sure. And it just did things that you never thought they were going to do. Like, are they going to go there? And introducing a villain like Mr. Nobody, like, literally he's like a nobody, but you get a guy like Alan Tudyk to do it, which I thought he was phenomenal. He was so good. I'm like, oh my God, I hope he plays more villains. He's just so good. And this is the same guy who was in, you know, Serenity. And what was he? He was like the doctor or something. No, some
he was the captain.
He was the captain. And I was like, oh my God, this little douchebag. And he's going to play like a villain? Like, holy crap. That's range, man. That's range. And he was really good. You forgot about the girl. I think it was Vicky Guerrero or not Vicky Guerrero.
Excuse me.
Me. No, it's not her. I forgot her name, but she was in Orange is the New Black and she played Crazy Jane. And that I thought.
Yeah. Her character, her acting was just spot on with that one. Yeah.
It was, it kind of reminded me of this series that I watched a while ago. It was on BBC. It was called Orphan Black. And Orphan Black is basically about these clones that, or basically this actress has to play like 8 different versions of herself in different ways. That's what she basically did in Doom Patrol. And I was like, okay, I'm in. And the way she pulled it off, I was like, oh, okay. Like she's sort of like the little goth girl, and then she's a psychopath, and she's a sweetheart. It's just like,
yeah, it went all over the place. Yeah, all these, yeah, it was just, yeah, it was great to see their change.
And then you had James Bond himself, Timothy Dalton, as the doc or the professor. I forgot what the chief. Yeah. I was like, dude, you're going all out for this Doom Patrol show. I hope he comes back. He was really good, too.
They should. I mean, they've got the second season all set up that will be going between both DC Universe and HBO. So, you know, if you guys don't have DC streaming, you can you are going to be able to find a lot of this stuff on HBO as well here starting soon when they launch the HBO Max.
Yep, next year, I believe.
Yep. Then my other tie with that was the Umbrella Academy.
I like the Umbrella Academy. It's not in my top 10, but it's not in my top 10 not because I didn't like it. It's because the other 10 are like really good.
These are mine. I'm letting you know, man. You got to be pulling out some big ones. There's nothing out there that I can see. I'm pretty sure I want one of them.
Umbrella Academy. Like I think you turned me on. They're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And I saw him. I was like, okay, let me check it out. I'm like, why does this guy look like he's a giant ape?
Yeah.
What's going on here? Why is there a freaking monkey who's a butler? Like, what is this? And, the more you find out, it's like one of those things we talked about before with streaming services. Like they have enough time to develop characters and you grow with them through these 8 or 10 episodes and you got to have empathy for them. Oh, okay. Now I get it. And Ellen Page's character was the one that kind of like flipped the script for me. I'm like, okay, she's a nobody, a violinist. She ain't got no powers. And you find out she's probably the most powerful of all of them. So that's what really threw me off too. Excuse me.
Well, I mean, it was also one to me. I liked it because it was one of my favorite independent runs, also for the comic books. I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name that does the he does the writing for. He's a writer and the artist for it. Singer. God, drawing my.
Is it Brian Singer? No, that's a director.
No. He's in like an emo band.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. That's the guy from My Chemical Romance. Yeah, he's
the lead singer. That's he's the one that wrote and did it all.
And that was another thing that when you told me about, like he had wrote the comic, like him, really? I was shocked because the comic is so well done,
yeah,
and the characters are so fleshed out. It's just like he did this.
Yeah, product of a good of a real hardcore fan. So, so I have a few more, but we'll go ahead with yours. What do you have?
I think one that was probably like, hold on 1 second. Still getting over this crud. Swamp Thing. And when it came on, I was kind of worried about it at first. I was like, okay. But then I heard James Wan was involved. And then you hear like midway through watching this whole series, well, it's going to be one and done. And that kind of like bummed me. I'm like, okay, well, maybe the season sucks. It did not suck. It was Swamp Thing through and through. It was so good that I bought like a couple Swamp Thing comic books from Acme just to read up on it. It was everything. They threw everything in that first season. They had the issue about the Swamp Way to Hell. We still don't know. The origin story of the Swamp Thing. The guy who acted as the actual Swamp Thing, I thought he was awesome because to do that much inflection, basically wearing a suit with those red eyes, incredible. And then you had the girl from Teen Wolf in there. She was really good as Abby Arcane. And then you had the other side story with the other Arcanes and like how corrupt they were. And then the reveal at the end of what happens, you get to meet the Floralic Man. He was there also. I was like, and then out of all that, you have the Blue and the Phantom Stranger. I'm like, what? Are you joking me? And it's like when the series ended, which is unfortunate, I was pissed. But it was one of my favorites of the year. I loved it.
Yeah, it definitely was. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was actually, that was one of the ones I forgot about. I completely had forgotten about Swamp Thing. Yeah, that would have been up there. Now that I'm, you know, going back, especially, you know, with you know, the addition of, like you were saying, you know, the Phantom Stranger and the Blue Devil. You and I both are very, very into the darker magic side of DC, and I actually introduced those characters. I thought was great.
And I think one night we actually sat down and we were just trying to map out like a way they could do the DC streaming service with that, you know, that dark Justice League dark characters. And the way we thought it out, man, would have been really cool. Like I still think about that. I'm like, man, they could just do it our way.
give them some time, man. They're actually starting with this whole HBO Max and everything. They're getting ready to have a little, you know, a little bit more money on both sides. So I think we're going to see some more coming our down.
I hope so. And I hope they bring those characters back. I mean, I know they're not probably going to do a Swamp Thing series, but please bring those characters back. They were so perfect. Especially the Floronic Man. You had the Floronic Man at the ending. It was there. You set up.
So what do you have next?
My other one is Watchmen.
Yep, that is on my list, actually.
I'll tell you what. Like, the whole premise of it being the sequel, not from the movie, but from the comic book, was interesting. And I started watching it. And, you know, the series opens up with, I believe it's this, it's like a racist war. They're trying to kill all black people in that area. It's like in the 1930s. I forgot what the name of it was, but that's the way it opened. And then it goes in the present day. And then you think, you know, are you going to see all the characters there? Are they going to see the Owlman? Are you going to see Dr. Manhattan? You see Dr. Manhattan in a different way. And then there's these new characters, and it's like this Sister Knight character. Basically, it's the series is around her, and you find out other people who are connected to the. I don't want to give a lot away because it's a slow burn, but when it ends, it's like, huh? I loved it, Mike. It was so good. It's not on par. Like, I just finished watching Doomsday Clock, which to me was a big letdown. Unfortunately,
we're gonna talk about that one here.
Oh man, hopefully. It's like the biggest tease in the world was Doomsday Clock, and you have, oh, it's going to happen, and then they take like so long to build it up. This one had 8 episodes to build it up, and it was built up so thoroughly, and the characters were so fleshed out, and you had like the Spectre there, and what happened? Oh, well, she's a little bit older now, and you find out what she's done, and you know, what happened now, man? Like, it's still connected to the comic books. You had Jeremy Irons as Asmodeus.
Yeah, that was great to see him as that.
That's all I'm going to say. Kids, watch it. You'll see what he does. Like, with the actions that he does. I was shocked. Like I said, one of those series that I didn't think was going to work out. But the way I think Damon Lindelof wrote it, he did Leftovers. I never really watched the Leftovers, but I heard it's pretty good. I hope there's a season 2. There's no plans of it yet. But the way they left it off, there's going to be a season 2. And I think it's been, you know, critically, you know, received. So hopefully we'll see it down the road. I don't know if you've seen the whole thing yet, but watch it. It's really, really, really good. It reminded me of the Alan Moore comic. That's what it did. It's like whoever did the series did their homework, unlike Geoff Johns with Doomsday Clock, who didn't. So that's kind of like those two mediums. Like, you have one side and the other side, like, hey, we both love the Alan Moore comic book, The Watchmen. Who's going to do it better? Is it going to be a guy who basically is a comic book sweaty like Geoff Johns? Or is it a guy who's basically a TV showrunner who did the left guy did it better? So watch this instead of collecting Doomsday Clock. So that's what I have to say.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and honestly, the music on there was amazing too.
Oh, so good.
Most people don't realize it was Trent. That was Trent Reznor.
Yeah,
he was one of the writers for the music.
That's his second career, like kind of like Danny Elfman did. He'd start doing musical scores. So
yeah, it was definitely really good to hear those. And then my next one, because you pretty much got all of them. Mine was The Dark Crystal. For any of you, babies out there, it was a great them coming back to, basically it was a prequel to The Dark Crystal, and it was just great to see, and seeing what they were doing by mixing the actual puppetry, real puppets, and then adding on the inflections of CGI on top of them to give them more human faces. I thought it was really great.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to. It's just been one of my lists. It's like I have so many things on my list, but I've heard nothing but good things about it, especially the origins of the Skeksis. That's what I really want to see.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. It hits all your points.
I cannot wait for that.
And then my, actually, did I have two lists up here?
How many lists you got up
there? I think I did have two lists. That's funny. And actually, then I go ahead with your next one. I think I did have one because I did have a...
My next one is one of my favorite TV shows of all time. It ended after this season, was the third season. And if you are a David Lynch fan, you'll love this series, and that's Legion. The way it went out as crazy as it started. I never thought David Holler as a character would be a good TV show, but the way they did it, you know, I think this is the same showrunner who did Fargo for FX and some other stuff. But you could tell he's a big David Lynch guy. Even the opening episode, which was a couple years ago, was very Lynchian. And they kept that vibe going. I mean, there's an episode this season, which is, I think, in the finale, where they're singing a Pink Floyd song during a fight. I mean, who thinks of stuff like that? And then there's like a past self fighting like a future self, and it's like time, and it's like Professor Xavier is there. It's so out there, but to make a series that creative that is so out there like that, you got to be on point. And because it could have failed. It really could have failed miserably, because a lot of people are like, what? What is this? But it's one of those series that you actually got to like think like Last Jedi a lot. You think outside the box. This is one of those series, hey, I'm thinking outside of this box and I'm breaking the box. And I know you had your issues with it for a while. You liked it, didn't love it like I did, but I loved it. And it was the last season.
I had no issues with it. I don't know what you're talking about. I just didn't keep up with it because I had, again, other shows, and it just wasn't one of my...
It's so good. Oof. I highly recommend that. That was my number one for a while, but then other stuff came through, like Mandalorian and Boys.
Well, I was trying to just concentrate on things that were released now this year, not so much things that were like ending or anything like that. No, it wasn't. It was released 3 years ago.
No, but the season 3 was...
No, I know. I'm just talking about anything that was released new. Okay. That's why I'm concentrating on new releases this year in my list. I didn't do other shows. You know, I didn't do any of the CWs or any of that stuff because they're not...
Neither did I.
Well, it's just because they're not there. I was looking more for like new things that popped this year is the reason why what I was looking for. And then my last one, which I thought I was going to hate, and I don't. And you probably will agree with me at least on that much. I don't know if it would end up on one of your lists, but it is a CW, but Batwoman. I think they came out tripping over themselves, falling on their faces with the promotions that they were doing, the marketing they were doing. It's like they were aiming at one type of market group, but when they released it, that's not the product they released. And it just surprised me. I was like, why would you start off by trying to alienate some of your harder core fans? Instead, give it more of a middle ground and then throw in what your commercials were aimed at. I mean, your commercials were aimed at very hardcore feminist groups. I mean, if I'm going to really just put it out there, that's what their marketing was. It was, you know, very anti-man, very anti-Batman. Just really just bashing your source material and what your character is based off of. And then when the show came out, it embraced it instead and gave us something more, like gave us more of a warm and fuzzy, like, okay, I get you. You're obviously not going to be doing him, but you're still acknowledging that he's there. You're using his gadgets. And the fact that the way the show ends is one of your favorite parts.
Love it.
Every show ends with her talking to him. And honestly, I've just recently, I have to be really admitting of this, I have just recently picked up, and I think I'm in the 10th issue of her comic book run, because I wasn't a fan beforehand. And not that I wasn't a fan of it because I didn't read it, or because I read it and I didn't like it, I just didn't read it. And now, but seeing how the show is and what they're doing on the show, I wish they would have gone harder like they did in the comic books. The comic books are a lot rougher, a lot more... what's the word I'm looking for? definitely more feminist, but there's a straight, when it's feminist, it's strong and hard feminism. And it's like, I can get behind that. And like, okay, you're doing your thing. They haven't really even touched on her drinking problem. Like the comic book really hits hard on her drinking problem. And you don't see that much in the comic or in the show, which I don't think she's ever mentioned.
It's on CW, so who knows how deep they'll go into that.
I think they should have, because if CW is trying to push their slogan, Dare to Defy. I think if they really wanted to Dare to Defy, they would stick and bring a real problem, not just you know that she's gay. problem to, or not, you know, that she's gay to the forefront, but the drinking problem. And that's something that can hit home for a lot of people. And I think that would give that show more oomph, I think.
Well, I think so too. It's kind of like the promises of Iron Man 2, where you thought you were going to get the demon in the bottle.
Exactly. We didn't get that. We missed that.
You got like a little hint of it, but then that was it. But if
you got that in Iron Man 2, I think was the only time we actually saw it when he got drunk at that party.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. There you go. There's demon in the bottle. But yeah, you're right. If you do it right and you dive into that storyline, like she comes like a raging alcoholic.
Well, not raging, but to talk about it. Show that it's there. Don't hide it. And I mean, I'm sure they're not trying to hide it from that character. But in the comic book, she does have that problem. And I think in today's culture, it's good to address that kind of problem. And she's a prime example to address that. And like I said, it was one of those ones I was dead against. Just like Joker, I was dead against that. I still like Joker, just don't want it. Still a great movie, this one. I wasn't for it, and that was their fault, honestly, when it came to it. But now I'm for it, and I'm enjoying it, and I can't wait to see where her character goes now. Beforehand, I was like, I don't even want to bother looking at her.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go. The whole sister thing kind of threw me for a loop, like, kind of too on the nose, but... You know, even after a while, she kind of grew on me and the show grew on me, and I like where it's going. Like I always said with Ruby Rose in this series of what I've seen so far, that's not counting the crossover yet, is I felt when Ruby Rose was in this show that everybody around her was on point and she just is too much of a background character. But yet, and I had that was my big problem. Like, you know, she's Batwoman. She has to be front and center, you know? There's like too many scenes where like you have these guest stars. Like they had like a Julia Pennyworth on an episode and she was running circles around her. Like she was more upfront than she was. But then I saw the crossover, which is kind of crazy. And she's great in the crossover so far. Like she's standing like front and center. And if they give me that Ruby Rose going forward in Batwoman, then I'm totally on board. Totally on board. That's the way she needs to be. Like up front and center. Like she said some things in the crossover so far that like, oh yeah, okay. Now that's a Bat family member right there.
Yeah. So hopefully she is part of, I don't want to call it a full ensemble, but it's her and her dad. They work a lot closer than what we see in the show. And I think that's what they really should have that kind of that back and forth. Like that she doesn't have a Luke, which is fine with me.
Yeah.
So
it's okay.
What we're going to do, we're getting kind of late on this one here. Going to go ahead and jump into the comic book section of our picks. You got a comic book selections ready?
Yeah, I got a couple picks.
All right, sweet. Hold on.
I wasn't here last week, so.
Legends of the Long Box.
All right, so now keep this in mind, though. We're looking at our series, not what came out last week, all right? We're looking at series for 2019. What do you think was the best series to come out for 2019? And I'm gonna keep this one open because they kind of overlapped. So I think I know you were big on your Lucifer run. So you know that one. And I know that started last year.
Did it start last year?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to realize you're in what issue 16 now. So yeah, that had to start over a year ago.
No, because it was only I thought it was a 6-issue run.
The first? No. That one. That's a continuation one. Okay, so maybe your story arc probably. So that one was this year.
Yeah, Prodigy was the one. Yeah, because I liked Prodigy a lot.
Yeah,
that was 6 issues. It reminded me of it was an old TV show called The Pretender, where the guy basically could do just like, hey, I'm a doctor today, I can do that. And this guy, I think his last name was Jefferson something, and he was a African-American male, and he basically grew up and he could do like heart surgery right away. Like that's like one of the opening panels in the comic is like him, and he's like 2 years old, and like I think somebody gets shot in his living room.
What book was this?
It's called Prodigy.
Prodigy. Okay.
It's a Mark Millar book. You know, okay. It's pretty easy. Millar, yeah, okay. Millar is Miller or Millar, whatever. But he's hopefully this is one of those things that'll go direct to series. But it's really, really good. I dug it. You know, when he's doing open heart surgery to some guy who got shot in his living room when he's like 3 years old. I was like, oh, and it just goes on from there, and you find out some other stuff that's going on, like this secret organization he's got to fight, and basically he does everything with his mind. He outwits people, and that's what fairy characters are, the ones who are, you know, least superpowered and more about intelligence and just outthinking people. And he's definitely falls in that rank. I think it was a 6-issue run. I think it's in omnibus form as well, but not quite to the par of what Millar does, because he's done a lot of good stuff. I think Nemesis is a little bit better, but this is a really good one. As far as like my favorites of the year, that probably had to be my favorite.
All right. Mine actually, it's something I really have never brought up because I was just kind of reading off to the side. But the Immortal Hulk. If you've never read that one, it started like the beginning. The original run was 2018, but this one, the main story arc, really picked up in 2019. That's why I'm kind of including it in here. The two volumes, it was a 3-volume set right now. The second one and the third one finished up this year. And if you, as a fan of horror, would want to pick this one up, it's a full on horror Hulk comic book. It's believed that Bruce Banner has finally died. He's died, tried to kill himself a couple of times, and finally, this is taking place, I think, after, I'm trying to remember the event Marvel had about 2 years ago, but he basically gave Hawkeye a special arrow and said, hey, when I'm done doing what I need to do, plant it in the back of my skull. So it starts off pretty dark off the bat, and everybody believes Bruce and the Hulk are truly dead, and it picks up in a very reminiscent of the 70s Hulk television show, where he's just running, getting away from people. He's just wandering around, but when the Hulk does arrive, it becomes, like I said, it's very horror. The statement that Hulk makes is light is Banner's time, the dark is my time. So, like, as the sun's coming up, he has to change back, and you're watching him change back into some of the most grotesque ways. He can sense sin in a way. It's very similar to the Ghost Rider, but he can sense when somebody's done something wrong. So if they ever decide to do another Hulk movie, this is what it needs to be. It needs to be this and keep it very horror based.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
have to check that one out. I mean, especially if it's horror based. I mean,
it's heavily. Yeah, it's the last couple on this last volume. They kind of go light, but the beginning, man. It's as I'm reading, man. I'm like, man, I can see this in a horror movie. Just these scenes. It has a McGee following him around. She's a reporter, and she's trying to find him out. And you have the Sasquatch and him getting to a couple of scraps. Not the Sasquatch that you're thinking of, from the woods, but the actual villain Sasquatch. Hmm. And you have Puck running around. I mean, just like some of the side characters that they bring in are great.
Some Alpha Flight in there.
Yeah. Well, you have Alpha Flight in there because Sasquatch and Puck are part of it. Captain Marvel is a part of Alpha Flight, and they're trying to try to bring down the Hulk as well. And she's like, hey, I have to bring in my other team for this. And you see this new Hulk. He punches and knocks Thor out, and Thor wakes up. He's like, "That's not the guy that I'm used to fighting. That hurt."
Ouch.
Yeah. So you see Thor coming up with a little blood, and so it's a really good run that they had. Again, like I said, it's 3 volumes, but the last two were really really fun. So did good. Oh, Marvel.
Not bad.
What do you got next for your next one?
Let's see what I have. I have another one here. This one was actually it's a series that is still going on. It's not done yet.
That's fine. Yeah, I've got one that's the same way.
But I love it so much that issue 2 was released a couple weeks ago, and I thought it couldn't get any weirder, but it has. And you might know what it is. It's He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Yes,
Volume 2, and the joy I got from the first comic book is only eclipsed by this one, because I think we talked about when he runs into Dolph Lundgren He-Man, and then he's fighting with some kind of like a Pez version of He-Man too, which is weird in itself. But in this one, he runs into Spaceship Eternia. Like, Space He-Man hasn't been used in, I would say 20 years. That was like one of the latter toys they made towards the end of that run.
Yeah, wasn't there a comic book or cartoon for that too? Like in the early 90s, I think?
It was so stupid that to see it being referenced in comics, I was like, oh God, they're really
good. And they didn't just reference it. They hung out there and he was around for a little bit for that book.
He was there for the whole issue. I mean, until he, died.
Yeah.
Because Anti-He-Man is like this he's a bad mofo. That's all I'm gonna say. You know, he's just slaying He-Man left and right, taking the power swords and just disappearing. And that's basically the whole premise of the comic so far. He's just, you know, killing He-Man, taking the power sword, or taking the power of Grayskull. I think it's a sword and the Grayskull. I'm not sure. I have to read it again. But basically him teaming up with Kandor, and then you see another version of Skeletor, and Kandor's like, is that what I'm going to become? And then, you know, they have a conversation. It's like, this is eventually what you become. You go down this road. He's like, I don't want to. He's like, how do I get the skulls? It's like just little lines like that. I'm like, it's so ridiculous that it makes my heart. And I cannot wait to see where it goes.
Yeah, they've been doing fun with that.
And it's like, the comics like that are just fun and off the wall and make absolutely no sense are the ones I kind of gravitate to. And this was definitely, even when I picked it up the shelf, I was like, He-Man, like, what are they going to do now? Like, they did like another run where he was fighting Darkseid. I'm like, I didn't care for that one. But this one, yeah, this one hits close to home.
Yeah, my next one is, I know you've read it. I don't know if you finally got to a chance to read the last one, but Batman, Last Night of On Earth. Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo. That's a great little run. Three books. They're a little bit thicker than normal, but they were still fun runs. I was a little disappointed towards the end.
Me too.
Build up and the arcs that we got were fun till that build, you know, to that final one.
Yeah, the reveal of who Omega is. It's like,
and honestly, I always thought that this was like 100 years later, and it then it really seems like it's only recently on that last book. So that's what I got a little confused on.
Yeah, the timeline issue was strange, and then, you know, the whole reveal was like, I don't know. It's to me, it was kind of anticlimactic.
It was, yeah. Honestly, if anything, if they just would have like him met up with one big baddie, and that ended, and then him and Joker still just wandered off into the desert, you know, alone again. I think that would have been fun. To show that, yeah, he's here. He's now about. He's, you know, he's taken over the mantle. He's come to terms with who he really is now, and he just moves on. And I think it should have gone. And I probably didn't want to do it this way because it is already a book, but very reminiscent of like the old Man Logan series. You know how he's just wandering around, you know, the United States and these different sectors that are, you know, built up and, you know, ran by different villains and heroes.
The way it ended was really cool, though. I did like the ending. That was like a nice little touch. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And like, that's okay. So we're going forward now. So, yeah, but the reveal was not the biggest, you know, thing. I didn't like it, but, you know, is what it was still a good run. Very good run.
Yep. And what do you have for your last one?
It's a run that I think ended. And was it my favorite run of the year? No. Batman Superman. And that was, I believe, took place within 5 issues. Basically, the Year of Infected continues. And basically, it was the Batman-Superman team up. They're basically trying to find out who the Secret Six persons are who have been infected by the Batman Who Laughs. And you find out who they are, what the plan is going to. One of the members who has been infected is somebody very close to Batman. I guess we can say that. If you haven't read the comic book, just check it out. The artwork is kind of fantastic. Storyline's got a little muddled, I think, because they want to keep that train going with him. He's probably the most popular character that came out of the Metal series, bar none. And they want to keep that train rolling with him. And, you know, they're definitely doing that with the Year of the Villain. And I think next year they have another series, which is going to be – it's picking up after this one. I think it's called Infected One. I believe it's or anti-infected. I have to look
as long as they don't overuse them, I'm okay. The whole thing with, like, you know, there's 5 different Joker books out there and 5 different Harley books and 6 different Batman. Just give us one storyline to follow. That's when too many gets too muddy.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully they don't overuse him, which kind of made him special when he wasn't overused. But now I think they're getting on that dangerous territory of overusing.
Yeah.
It's starting to happen. Like, I like the character, and I think when he first was brought up, I think we talked about it, you know, before the, you know, incarnation or creation of this podcast. It was like, oh, what a great idea. You know, the Batman and Joker combined as one character, like, Jesus, like, insanity with intelligence. That's frightening. And the whole concept of the idea, you know, even though he did look like Judge Death, but it's okay.
We'll forgive him for that.
We'll forgive him for that. But but the whole idea and the concept, like, oh, he's, and even in the Metal series, he didn't have that much to do. He was more of like a recruiter in that series. And then, like, after that, he came out after Batman, and he did like the miniseries, which was the Batman Who Laughs. That was a 7-issue miniseries, which I thought was going to be actually, you know what? That was really good too. I could tie it with this one because it delved in deeper, like his motivations, why he does what he does. But hopefully going in the new year, he is not overused. You know, I want him to be used. Like, I think he's going to fight Lex Luthor in his Legion of Doom, you know, whatever. And, you know, hopefully once that storyline is over, they put him away for a while. Cause you know, you overuse somebody and then you're going to get sick and tired of it.
Yeah. Well, my last one, and honestly, I put this one up for my number one, and it is actually a combo of two books. The Return of the X-Men in the House of X and Power of Ten.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I've caught up on that.
Did you? So, I mean, yeah, to me, they take up number one because they reintroduce me into the X-Men into a new, in a different world.
It's so good. Like, I didn't think you could reintroduce the X-Men like the way they did, because you're used to Professor X being a certain way. And the way they do it in this series is he's introduced in a totally different way. You know, he has Cerebro on him. He's walking. Supposed to be. He's not some old man in a wheelchair. So, and when I was reading this comic book, I kept thinking, I'm like, you know, if I'm Kevin Feige and I want to reintroduce the X-Men, how would I do it? And I'll tell you what, I would do it this way. And I think it would work.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. I mean, Jonathan Hickman has, like, reintroduced and revitalized the X-Men.
Yeah, re-energize, reinvigorate. And this is the exact way you do it. Like, you don't go, like, the old tropes, the past. You go with this new trope, and guess what? It makes sense, especially, like it's more modern. It's more modern tale. You know, Professor X is not some old guy in a wheelchair. He's a guy who has this thing on his head. And he's walking around with it.
But the nice thing about this is they don't ignore the past. Like the,
no,
the
ones, they embrace it.
They resurrect old characters. Like they resurrected Pyro, and they resurrected the original looking Pyro. So it's not like they're wiping out that history. That history's still there, and it can be changed. It's just now Moira came around and introduced herself at a different time now, and so these things are still there. The heat between, you know, Wolverine and Sabretooth, and you can see that tension between Jean Grey and Kitty Pryde. There's still a lot of that going around. Not Kitty Pryde. I'm sorry. She's Kitty Pryde's working with her. No, she's working with Kitty Pryde.
Jubilee? Is it Jubilee?
No, not Jubilee.
Oh man.
Shit. The Diamond Queen. She's the White Queen.
I have their name. not Killer Frost. Killer. What's her name?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I feel so bad. I'm even looking at a picture of her, and it's like it's just like blanking out on me right now. But you know, you can still see that relationship between them, and there's still that tension. But they kind of are now working with each other. They're taking, you know, they're joining together and you know, forming up to make a new, you know, world for the X-Men and the mutants.
It's really good. Like, you're not just BSing it either. I actually read this one, and it's really, I think out of all the comic books we've mentioned, that's probably the best one of the year out of all of them, out of all the six we've mentioned. It's because it's so good. It's just like you said, it's a reinvention of the X-Men. It's not the same old plotting X-Men that you know. And it's not Wolverine based neither, because no. Like in the old X-Men comic books, if you know, as you recall, they used Wolverine so much, it was like Wolverine this, Wolverine
Emma
that,
Frost,
Wolverine,
by the way.
Wolverine, Wolverine. And it got sickening. It's like, okay, but now this one is like, it's all the X-Men. And you see what's been going on and like the reintroduction. It's like, it just invigorates it. And I like it a lot. Like, yeah. It's a really, 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 really good pick.
That's why when I kept reviewing it, I was like, man, you gotta pick this up.
Yeah,
you gotta pick this up.
And then when I had my little crud issue, I was like, let me just read this in Comixology. Yeah, I downloaded it and I started reading it. I'm like, holy crap, this thing just gets better. And the way they do things, it's like we've always said, when you want, like, I keep thinking in a movie way, like, you know, how can they introduce this in a movie way that would make sense and logical? And it's literally right there. Like, you don't need to change anything. I mean, maybe a couple tweaks here and there, but, you know, especially with the flower thing. But, you know, excuse me.
But yeah, so those are my picks. I did have runner up for the Spider-Man with J.J. Abrams and his son writing it, and I did for the most part, because most of the books came out this year, but it fell on its face at the very last second. That's why I didn't make the top 10, but Doomsday Clock. Those were my two runner-ups. They were good, but they just didn't at the end.
They didn't hit the landing. Yeah. That's the thing.
So I know the Spider-Man with JJ is still going on. So that's why I didn't give it. I was like, yeah, it's not at its completion. It's starting to build, but not there. But then, like, Doomsday Clock had its chance, and it just, you know, at the very end.
Doomsday Clock was just a plotting thing for 11 issues where you kept waiting for this build-up to happen, and it finally happens, and what do you get? I don't even want to say what happens.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you
know, it's to me, it's just so... It makes all those 11 issues pointless.
Yeah, exactly.
It really does. And it's like, okay, you said you would, when you did this, the conception for it, like, oh, I'm going to pay tribute to Alan Moore. I'm not going to fuck it up. But you did.
Yeah.
You did. That's the problem. You did fuck it up. You fucked it up really bad. And it's like, instead of, like, you know, it having a conclusion, no, now you have more questions.
Yeah.
And I hate that. I hate when you don't have a definitive ending. Like, end it. But no, you know, you chicken out. Well, guess what? It's going to lead into this. Like,
yeah. But that's, yeah, that was the ones that I had for my runner up. So
it was just disappointing.
Yeah. All right. So do you have any other runner ups or any other books that you have?
No. I'm still in the process of reading some new ones for the new year.
Gotcha.
Which, you know, Lucifer is still ongoing. Yeah. So it's not really.
All right. Well, guys, we will return next year for our 51st issue. We will so make some changes. We've gotten some suggestions from some folks out there about some things we used to do that have been missed, and we're going to start bringing those back, as well as, like I said, we've got the con coming up here in 2.5 months. Hopefully, I'm going to try to do some reaching out to some of the people that are supposed to be on site with us. And maybe they can call in. We can sit down, do an interview, so that way you guys know who's going to be there. And maybe if you want to go out and see them, and not instead of us, fine. You know, whatever. You know, walk by the table and say hi. Give us a high five.
At least give it a high five, man. Please.
So I mean, definitely, you know, check us out. HeroesAsylum.com. Also on Heroes Asylum with our Facebook page and our Twitter page. You can find links for those there and all of our episodes, as well as the Midnight Movie, which will be making its triumphant return. Also.
I think we're going to be doing our first watch along of 2020 2 weeks.
All right. 2 weeks. Yeah, and we already have a title for it, so we will be seeing finally Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon, baby. I'm pulling rank. That's why it's coming.
Exactly.
First.
So you need to.
I had to. That thing was on the list for so long, and everybody just kept shooting it down. So,
all right. Sorry. Hey, guys, keep an eye out also on our Facebook, or not our Facebook page, but our website. We're also putting up some news stories and blogs, so you guys can check those out. And this year, again, like I said, some changes coming, more stories coming from us. So we will have
lots of good stuff, kids. Get ready for it. Asylum is going to spread worldwide like an infection.
We're gonna affect the world. So, Kane, you got anything else to say, man, before we check out?
Well, Twitter, Instagram, as always, those are our main areas of contact. As always, the Facebook page, the Facebook community is growing. And I'd like to give a special shout out to a special person. Thank you, Melissa. Appreciate your friendship and your help for everything you've done for us. I really do. And like I said, it's growing. I think we went from like 70 to like almost 200 now.
Yeah.
The community is growing. We might have an interview.
Nice.
It's going to be on something very special. But on the real, thanks, guys, for the likes and the shares. We really appreciate it. This was an endeavor of me and Mike that we wanted to start with. Some stuff happened in our life to create this podcast, but just to see it, the community growing and the likes and all that stuff, this really, you know, puts a smile on our faces every day, and we love doing it every Sunday. And who knows, maybe we'll do another day. So.
Yes, sir. All right, guys. I hope to see you guys soon. Have a safe new year. And I'm going to pull a dad joke on here. We'll see you guys next decade.
Get to the asylum.
This has been a Heroes Asylum production.